Hello, welcome to Caterpillar Nation. I'm Jill Kimball, licensed clinical social worker and private practice therapist. Please follow me as we create a safe place to learn about mental health, mental illness, and mental wellness. We will explore the psychology of who we are and how we develop into our best mental health. Just like caterpillars who transform before becoming butterflies, we are also on a journey to find our best self. Stay tuned.
Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Caterpillar Nation podcast. I'm Jill Kimball. In today's podcast, called Doing the Work, we'll explore what kind of effort it takes to get the most out of therapy. We'll look at what kind of work it takes to heal and how you can aid in your own healing journey. You've put in the effort to find a therapist, and you've had your first time appointment where hopefully you felt heard, and with the help of your therapist, you have identified goals for therapy. And by goals for therapy, I mean something more detailed than I want to feel better or I want to get over this loss. Sometimes we like to break it down to be real clear. I want to feel joyful and pursue hobbies I used to. I want to be able to sleep. I want to develop some healthy coping skills or new communication skills. I want an improved mood. I want my relationships to be more satisfying. So if you're already in therapy, it's perfectly acceptable to ask your therapist, what are my goals for therapy? They may turn it back around on you to say, what are you looking to get out of therapy? And so this can be a good conversation to keep you on track at any different time in your therapy. Some people like to use their sessions to process daily stressors that have been going on and look for new insights into what leads to stress for them and find healthy coping skills. Sometimes they want to talk through a problem. Other times the work is more in-depth and it involves perhaps looking backwards at past injuries or traumas or ways that anxiety has shown up in your life. I often recommend to clients to have a therapy notebook. And when you're at home, you can write down things that you want to bring to therapy and then bring the notebook with you to session. Because often we will talk about new ideas or ways to work on things, and it's helpful to write it down so that you can look at it again when you're back at home. So you found a therapist, you're setting aside the time, and by setting aside the time, best case scenario, you don't feel like you're rushing into therapy to get it done, and then you've got another appointment right after. Consider ways to be fully present during your therapy session. I often recommend just taking a couple of slow, deep breaths to ground yourself and clear your mind. Therapy is your safe place. This is the place where it's acceptable to cry and it's okay to laugh about really difficult situations because the human expression of difficulty is really varied. And so therapy is your place to be accepted with whatever expression of emotion comes out. So during your therapist's training, first of all, in college, they take different classes on things like behavioral therapy, marital therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. But then after we're licensed, we do continuing education. And sometimes that continuing education is in specialized services. I'm trained in EMDR and brain spotting, Both of those are brain-based therapies designed to help people work through intense experiences and especially trauma. I would consider myself an eclectic therapist, so I rely on a lot of different tools. One of them, of course, is the safe therapeutic relationship, where I hold space for the client and support them as they're working on struggles. Also, sometimes I may give guidance, usually in the direction of helping them manage their internal experience. I love cognitive behavioral therapy, also known as CBT. With CBT, the theory is that our distorted thinking about events leads to dysfunctional reactions within us. So if there's an activating event, like someone didn't say hi to me, my negative belief might be they don't like me. And the emotional consequence I might have could be anxious, getting that anxiety thinking going, what did I do? Or it could be sad, I'm disappointed that person I thought was my friend wasn't. I often teach people A, B, C, D, E. A is the activating event. In this example, someone not saying hi. B is the negative belief we have, which might be they don't like me. C is the emotional consequence, which could be anxiety or sadness. And then D. D means to dispute the negative belief. What proof do I have that this person doesn't like me? And D can also be, is there a different explanation for why they didn't say hi? And I can think of 100. Maybe they didn't see me. Maybe they're preoccupied. Either way, through disputing or asking, is there a different explanation beyond my negative belief? This leads to E, a new emotional consequence. And typically, that can be curiosity. So I'm curious about what's going on with my friend. There are some great handouts on the cognitive distortions that lead to anxiety. Some of those might be black and white thinking. Either it's all good or it's all bad. Usually it's not all good or all bad. It's many shades of gray in between. And sometimes the good of a bad situation is the life lesson that we're learning. Overgeneralization is another cognitive distortion, and that is if I do one thing bad, it means I do everything bad. So it's worth it to check out one of those handouts because most of us are guilty of a few of them, and if we can get good at disputing our cognitive distortion or negative belief, then we're on the way to having a better day. A therapist may also use behavioral therapy, and some of the hallmarks of behavioral therapy include identifying a behavior that we want to start happening or that we want to stop happening, and we do that by reinforcing. So if I want to start waking up early in the morning, I might find a way to reward that behavior. So if I wake up early in the morning, I can have a special creamer. If I don't wake up early in the morning, it's milk and sugar. Of course, that one sounds really easy. But your therapist can help you get more advanced on what behaviors you want to reward and which ones you want to end. In the past, I have taught psychology classes at a local community college. In the behavioral theory class, I had the students do a project, and the project was to extinguish one behavior. And I did it with the class, and I wanted to quit eating in the middle of the night. My old house, the refrigerator was seriously like 10 feet from my bedroom door, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and get some munchies and want to go grab something to eat. So for my project, my interrupter was, if I want to get a snack, I have to do 25 crunches before I can go get a snack. So the first time I woke up in the middle of the night and decided to get a snack, I went down on the floor and did my 25 crunches, and then I didn't feel like getting a snack. And then another time when I woke up in the middle of the night and thought about a snack, and I thought about getting out of bed and doing the crunches, I totally lost interest. So for me, that was a really successful experiment and a way to extinguish that behavior. Your therapist can help you develop these kind of reward and consequence programs to start or stop behavior that you're dealing with. Therapy is not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be the case that you will leave the session feeling refreshed or with some new exciting bit of progress. Because sometimes therapy is challenging, especially when we're spending time looking at the negative way we talk to ourselves or where we learned negative habits and patterns, which is often in our early life. And also we will look at injuries, emotional injuries that happen during our development or at other stages in our life that continue to affect us now. It's the hard work that helps us get to the healthy outcome. So you can let your therapist know if you're feeling overwhelmed at the end of session so that he or she can talk to you about coping strategies and ways to deal with increased sensitivity, increased insight and awareness. But ultimately, this is your growth towards health. As a matter of fact, I think this is what makes some people avoid therapy. They feel like their life is going okay. They do have some emotional pain, but they're afraid if they address it, it will lead to some type of weakness or that they will lose their edge. I find this often with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, where someone has learned to cope with the trauma that they went through by emotionally numbing, by becoming tougher, and they're afraid if they come into therapy and work on those issues, they're going to lose the edge. They're going to lose the ability to deal with hard experiences that at this point in their life they're doing well with. Unfortunately, those people are still thinking about the trauma sometimes every day. Sometimes the smallest things can trigger it, whether it's going into work or driving a vehicle, loud noises, smells. There are so many triggers that can activate the trauma that is inside of us. The other thing is with emotional blunting, yeah, we're blunting out pain, anger, the difficult emotions, but as we do that, we lose our ability to have a full range of emotions, and that includes getting really happy and excited. It includes losing vulnerability to relationships, and that's something that we want to be able to have in our relationships. It's normal to have some fear about looking at those old injuries, but that's what the support of the therapist is for, so that you don't have to do it alone and so that you can heal and move past those post-injuries. No amount of therapy ever erases the past, but what it can do is disconnect the emotional pain so that we can recall the trauma or the injury, take the life lesson from it, but not become so emotionally activated that we're overwhelmed or become dysfunctional. Your therapist may teach you different skills to use, like relaxation exercises or meditation. They might do a meditation during session. One of my favorite things to use with clients is EFT tapping. And this involves tapping on different pressure points on our face and upper body while we process information. And so I will teach people that. And my favorite source for learning about that is an app called The Tapping Solution. And my favorite app for learning meditation is Insight Timer. Both of them have lots of free options. Some people might decide to pay for a membership, but you don't have to do that. There's enough stuff on there that is free. But I mean, if you love it, definitely support it. Sometimes your therapist may lead you through developing insights to either stressful situations that negatively activate your emotions or triggers that bring up past injuries so that you can be more aware and figure out when is the time to use a different style of coping. And being able to take a deep breath is a real great one. I love meditation because to me, meditation allows us to have a pause. Incoming information happens, and instead of reacting, we have a pause and we can think about what does this information mean to me and how do I want to respond to it. Your therapist may also spend time talking about healthy lifestyle choices. So some of the things that we know contribute to our best mental health include getting a good night's sleep. So your therapist may talk with you about a healthy sleep environment, some things we call sleep hygiene, like having no screen time, half hour, an hour before bed, having a dark situation, not eating within an hour of going to bed. Also, hydration. Hydration is so important, especially if you're taking medication, because the medication is altered in our body if we're dehydrated. So we'll talk to you about staying hydrated, rested. We'll talk about healthy nutrition. There's so much information available about how our food choices affect how we feel about our body. We might also spend time talking about your physical activity. You know, are you getting some movement every day? If you're not, it's a great time. This is part of doing the work, developing better self-care strategies. This could be a 20-minute walk at lunch hour or walking after work. It could be a fitness program, but there are a lot of ways to integrate physical activity into your day. I also believe outdoor time, you know, especially when we can get our face in the sun and just breathe some of that fresh air. I had the very cool experience of talking to my daughter after work one day and telling her about it was a hard day and I was trying to relax. And she said, "Mom, have you been outside today?" And I thought, I haven't. And I know that's good for me. And she said, "Don't you remember when I was little, you told me touch nature every day," which I don't remember, but I love. So yeah, please touch nature every day. So we're getting some good sleep, hydration, nutrition, some physical activity, and some outdoor time. You may also need to look at what kind of things are you doing with your time. If you're hanging out with negative people or getting caught up in drama or gossiping, those are so draining for us. You might need to look at your friend group or your relatives and who leans on you and how much you really have to give. A worthy pursuit with your therapist is having healthy boundaries, knowing how much of the stress can you let into yourself and when do you have to put up those invisible fences that we call boundaries for your own mental health. So medication compliance is another one we will talk about. We'll also be looking at physical health. So your therapist may want to check in with you about when was the last time you had a physical, and are you doing the things to maintain good physical health? Some therapists give homework, and this is an optional activity, but if you are investing your time and money into this healing project, into yourself, doing some extra work between sessions can be really valuable. And this might be doing a daily meditation, a 5-minute meditation, or even 5 minutes of sitting in silence. It could be doing improved self-care, you know, the walking, the nutrition, the sleep. Sleep is a big one. We may recommend that you journal on a topic that came up during session so that you can process more of the feelings that you have about that. Some therapists will use worksheets. Depending on your personality, it's great to advocate for yourself, to ask your therapist. If you're someone who likes to do worksheets, do you have any worksheets that you recommend that would be helpful for me? If you're someone who likes homework, what can I be doing between sessions to continue to work on my mental health? And you might be somebody who does not want homework. I still think that if you're investing in your best self-care, doing good self-care between sessions is important. You and your therapist will talk about the frequency of sessions. If somebody has more intense needs, I usually recommend more frequent sessions, and that might be weekly. If somebody is coming in and working on personal development, we might meet every other week. And I've even had situations where I had one session with someone because they wanted to check in. They wanted to make sure how they were handling a difficult situation was healthy for them. So these ideas of self-care are definitely important. What I don't think is good for us is to constantly focus on ourselves as broken and in need of repair. I believe that our thoughts matter. Thoughts create energy. And if we're seeing ourselves as constantly broken, then we'll act broken. So see yourself as a work in progress. I believe all of us have different things that we can be doing to enhance our best mental self. It might be having healthy boundaries. It might be being active. It might mean taking care of our sleep. You know, as we're talking, I'm realizing that one of the topics I have not brought up is substance use. Surely we all recognize the use of substances in coping. That idea of, I've had a hard week, I can't wait to go home and have a beer. We heard lots of stories of people overindulging during COVID. And with the legalization of marijuana in most states, many people frequently get high. I have a problem with that. I think that it's important for us to develop non-substance use ways to calm ourselves down and get rid of stress. I'm not saying that substances in moderation is a problem, but relying on them to enhance your mental health or help you cope with negative activities is really problematic. So, you know, summarizing today's podcast, we talked about the work it takes to benefit from therapy. You're investing in yourself, time, money, but also effort. And sometimes that means some hard work. Sometimes that means some self-directed behaviors that will enhance your mental health. I hope that you're feeling like we're all part of this. We're all in this together. I'm hoping that my Facebook page can become a place where we can offer support, get support, etc. So thank you for being part of Caterpillar Nation. This is Jill Kimball. Please remember, a podcast can never take the place of professional mental health services. If you're in crisis, please text 988 or call 1-800-273-TALK. Check out my website, caterpillarnation.com, and my new Facebook group, Caterpillar Nation 2024. If you like what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. Remember, the journey to health begins with knowledge. Stay informed, stay empowered. Until next time, keep learning and growing. Take care.